If you want to turn over with me real quick to 2 Timothy 2:15 is where we'll begin this morning. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And this idea of right division means we must handle Scripture carefully, correctly. To me, if you go back to the Greek, it means to cut straight. And we have to understand what applies to whom and when and how. Just as a skilled workman divides materials correctly, we rightly divide God's word. We're going to explore the vital distinctions between prophecy and mystery in God's plan. And I hope it helps us understand that no prophecy is being fulfilled in the age of grace. Again, in society today, with everything that's going on with Israel and everything that's happening, but I hear it all the time, look at the blood moon. A couple weeks ago, we had an interesting moon that was red colored, and everybody looks at it with prophecy and the blood moon. What's going on with Israel? We start beginning to look at Israel, and is this anything to do with prophecy? And when we can begin to understand right division and how it works, I believe we can answer a lot of these questions. So my goal today, or the answer, which I already gave it to you, but what is the role of prophecy in the age of grace? Is there anything that's happening? Right division means distinguishing the different dispensations or administration in God's unfolding plan. That word dispensation is oikonomia in the Greek, and it means a household of rules. In each and every dispensation, there's a different household of rules or administration. There's a different instruction for the nation of Israel. There's a different instruction for the church today. It's about reading the mail that's addressed to us and not confusing it with God's program for Israel. And you may say, well, why does it matter? And I think with outright division, Christians can end up claiming promises not meant for them, or we're fearful of these prophetic things that people say are happening. People are scared we'll go through the tribulation. I hear it all the time. When does the tribulation happen? Well, people believe, some believe we're in it today. And thankfully, we will not go through the tribulation, and therefore the tribulation is way worse than what we'll ever even be able to imagine. But right division provides clarity in doctrine and confidence in what God is doing today. Right division means we can acknowledge that not all Scripture is written to us. Look at Romans 15:4. I think it's very important to read. Romans 15:4. In Romans 15:4, the Apostle Paul says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We have to understand the different dealing with the nation of Israel and the church age, the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. We have to understand the difference between law and grace. We have to understand the difference between prophecy and mystery. There's an earthly hope. There's a heavenly calling. If you go all the way back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God had a plan for the earth. God had a plan for the heavens. The nation of Israel is the earthly kingdom, and ours, we're seated in the heavenlies. And many times, if people don't rightly divide the word of truth, we end up mixing truths that were meant for Israel under the laws. We pick and choose. We find things that maybe we like, and we try to implement them into our life. The gospel is one thing that we can really be careful with, and people go back to the gospels, literally, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and talk about repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus and the 12 preached the gospel of the kingdom. It included repentance. It included baptism. It was belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is written to the nation of Israel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Paul by contrast, was given the gospel of the grace of God, which is in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is salvation, is the gospel for today. Like I said, water baptism under Israel's program. I believe water baptism was an essential role. It was required. It was mandated. If you can find me a verse anywhere in Scripture that says, hey, it's for a testimony, I'll begin to discuss. But everywhere it says, repent and be baptized. It says, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Water baptism was a requirement in the kingdom program. Today, Paul teaches that spiritual baptism into Christ by the Holy Spirit is what truly identifies believers in the body of Christ. And we have a huge, in my opinion, huge confusion where baptism falls. Some will say it's mandated. Some will say it's a good thing. Some will say, yeah, you can or you don't. Again, it's confusion because we're going from law versus grace. We're going from kingdom to the body of Christ. We're going from prophecy versus mystery. Jesus, in the Gospels, told people under the law to obey the commandments, offer sacrifices. But in Romans and in Galatians, Paul says you are no longer under law, but you are now under grace. So we have to have right division. If we don't rightly divide, we end up mixing the kingdom gospel with the grace gospel. They take water baptism, which is in the kingdom gospel, and they try to put it in the grace, the age of grace gospel. That's why so many people are so confused on all of these things. But this morning, the biggest and most important division to me in the Word of God, and if you come here for long enough, you will hear me say it time and time again, is between prophecy and mystery. And you may say, well, what is that? I don't even know what you're talking about. The Bible reveals two overarching programs. Prophecy, God's revealed plan spoken since the world began. And mystery, God's secret plan kept secret since the world began. Peter preached, let's look at Acts 3:21. We need comparison, because Scripture is what we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Look at Acts 3:21. And if you can find Romans 16 as well, but in Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So there Peter's saying everything was prophesied, everything was foretold. Romans 16:25, the Apostle Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So we have two different things here. You can't argue with me there. We have, it was spoken by the mouth of the prophets since the world began. And the Apostle Paul says there's a secret since the world began. We see two distinctions here. Prophecy encompasses what God made known through prophets. It was foretold. Mystery encompasses truth, God hidden himself for ages, which is now revealed through the Apostle Paul. So let's look at first that word prophecy. What was God's revealed plan for Israel and the earth? Again, that's spoken since the world began. In biblical terms, prophecy refers to God's revealed plan declared through his prophets. It was not hidden. It couldn't have been. The word prophecy means a foretelling. It's told about. It was publicly proclaimed in times past. Jesus' birth, his ministry, his death, the coming kingdom. They were all foretold about. They were all told it was coming. You can even look at Luke 1:70. Look at Luke 1:70, another good one here. Luke 1:70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began. Biblical prophecy centers on Israel's story, all the way from Abraham, all the way up to Messiah's kingdom, which is even in the future. prophecy outlines specific promises to the nation of Israel. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God chose Israel as a special people to bless the world. The nation of Israel was supposed to rise up, and through the nation of Israel, we would become part of that earthly kingdom. Well, if you go through Scripture, and we don't have time probably this morning, but if you go through Scripture, you see that the nation of Israel rejected God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, the prophecy is an earthly hope. There will be a literal kingdom. If you weren't here a couple months ago, we did a study on the Lord's Prayer. That Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Again, that's a literal thing. And they are going to be praying that prayer during the tribulation. And people sit here and memorize this, and I'm not saying all Scripture is great to have memorized. I don't want to tell you not to memorize Scripture. But that is for during the tribulation. They are ready to set up the earthly kingdom. There will be a physical earthly kingdom in the end. Throughout prophecy, there's covenants. You have the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic. You have the New Covenant, which is in the New Testament. Towards the end of Matthew, they have the New Covenant with the nation of Israel. We are not a covenant people. The nation of Israel was based on covenant. There is many things that prophecy has already been fulfilled. There's a lot of things that he talked about, his birth, his death. There's things that he talked about. The future kingdom is in the future. The kingdom that will be built, the kingdom that will be set up, is in the future. Now we can look at mystery. That word mystery, God's secret plan for the church in the present age. The mystery means a secret now revealed by God. So we have the prophecy, which was spoken since the beginning of time. Now we have the secret, the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You can even look in Colossians 1:26. There's multiple verses that talk about this mystery. Look at Colossians 1:26. "Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." So we have something that was prophesied, and now we have something that was kept secret. The risen Christ revealed this to the Apostle Paul. Jump to Ephesians chapter 3 while we're here. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll just try to stick with 2 through 5. "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you," word. The dispensation of the grace of God was given to the Apostle Paul. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known." Again, we have prophecy, we have mystery. We have to understand these distinctions, or you will never fully understand the Word of God. What is the secret plan? Again, there's many things, and again, we don't have time to dive into this. And like I said, if this is the first time of you hearing this, it takes time. There's a lot to digest. There's a lot of information. The body of Christ is a secret only revealed to the Apostle Paul. If you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're only going to see the kingdom. You're not going to see the body of Christ. You're not going to be able to find it until you get to Galatians and Ephesians and different places. Salvation by grace through faith alone. If you go back to the Old Testament, if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It was animal sacrifices. It was obey the law. In the age of grace, it is by faith alone. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Richard brought it up this morning. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But if you go back to the Gospels, it now tells you to be baptized. That's a work. That is doing something. That is no longer here. Another aspect, and this is where I want you to get to, and this was my beginning question of the mystery, is that Israel's program is paused. Israel's program is paused today. When they rejected God the Father in the Old Testament, when they rejected God the Son, crucifying him on the cross of Calvary, and they rejected in Acts 7, 8, when they rejected the stoning of Stephen, rejection of the Holy Spirit, that blindness happened to Israel. We read it during our scripture reading, but go to Romans chapter 11. Again, we need to read it again. Romans chapter 11. You can start with verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? You can jump down to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Okay, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel was blinded so Jesus Christ, God the Father, could set up the dispensation of the grace of God. If again, there's no other reason for the Apostle Paul to come on the scene. If anything, everything he did was rock the boat. In Galatians chapter 2, him and Peter have a discussion, and he says, fine, you go to the Israelites, and I'll go to the Gentiles, and we just part ways and forget it. Paul came in because he had a different message than what Peter had. It's a totally different, he had the mystery. Prophecy is focused on the earthly kingdom. The mystery reveals our destiny in heaven. It's for the church. We are seated in the heavens. We have spiritual blessings. The nation of Israel has earthly blessings. So again, this morning, my challenge for you is to see prophecy and mystery. The program for the Israelites is the prophetic program. Mystery is the program for the church today. They involve different spheres, like we said, earth versus heaven. Israel as a chosen nation versus the church as the body of believers. So again, we can address our biggest question this morning that I wanted to get across, because you see it on Facebook. Look what's happening. We're going to point to prophecy. We're going to point to prophecy. We're going to point to prophecy. It's everywhere out there. And to me, number one, the reason that prophecy is not being fulfilled today is the prophetic clock is on pause. The nation of Israel was blinded, and the prophetic program has been paused. The nation of Israel's unbelief resulted in a temporary pause of the prophetic program. When Israel rejected their Messiah and later resisted the apostles, which was in Acts chapter 7 with the stoning of Stephen, God set the nation of Israel aside for a short time. Does not mean he's done with them. Does not. They will come back after the rapture. Paul explained in verse Romans chapter 11 that Israel's fall brought riches to the Gentiles. Number two reason. If our current dispensation was kept secret and not revealed in prophecy, then none of the things happening now were specifically predicted by the prophets. If we're in a mystery program and nothing was revealed, how do you mix prophecy and mystery? How do you mix law and grace? How do you mix, again, and this is where we have to see, it is a dissection in the Word of God. Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation is very important in its context of the Scripture. You know, again, I don't want to take anything away from Israel, and I don't know enough about everything that's happening out there. But today, the nation of Israel is not God's chosen people. It's really the body of Christ. Now, anybody in the nation of Israel that has put their life and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is in the body of Christ. They can't go after the kingdom program. They can't go after the earthly kingdom. There's nothing they can do. And so many people in Christianity today want to go after the nation of Israel, and we need to protect them. And like I said, I think that's one reason Trump does what he does, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't know enough about it to understand. All people matter. But again, when we try to get into the mix of humankind forcing prophecy to occur today, it's not going to happen. Again, if you go back to the Gospels, Matthew 24, Jesus gave many signs of the end times, wars, earthquakes, but those signs pertain to the tribulation period. So many people go back to the Gospels and say, look, we're having so many more earthquakes. Look at global warming. Look at this. Look at that. All of that is going to occur after the rapture. Many Christian authors claiming current events fulfill this or that prophecy. We have to go back to Scripture. The mystery age is characterized by God's long-suffering grace, not the execution of prophetic judgments. Again, God is not dealing with the nation of Israel today. He's just not. Now, can they be saved? Absolutely. No different than you or I. No different than we're in the age of grace. If they understand Scripture, they can be saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no difference between Jew and the Greek. We're all sinners saved by grace. So what are we waiting for if not prophetic signs? Sonny, I don't know if you can put that chart up. Don't get overwhelmed by this chart. I've tried to find different charts. Again, if it's the first time you see this chart, we are waiting for the rapture. And so many people, again, I don't remember, but I heard about 1988. There was 88 reasons the rapture was going to happen in 88. There is nothing that's going to occur for the rapture to happen. The rapture can happen in the next breath. The rapture can happen in 100 years. It can happen in 200 years. There's no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. That term rapture refers to a catching away of the church to meet Jesus in the air. So again, if you can pay attention, and I can print this if anybody wants it. But again, from Genesis chapter 1 up to Genesis chapter 12, he was really dealing with the Gentiles. In Genesis chapter 12, he started dealing with the nation of Israel. He said, the nation of Israel is my chosen people. And like I said, after the rapture, he will go back to that. There will be an earthly kingdom. All that will be set up. All that is going to occur. But from Genesis chapter 12 up to the yellow portion, Acts chapter 9, he is dealing with the nation of Israel. He's dealing with prophecy. In Acts chapter 9, prophecy was paused. Prophecy is taking a break. We have a short time. Now we are in the dispensation of the grace of God. It's the mystery. Therefore, you cannot say, okay, I'm looking for a prophetic sign for the rapture to happen, because we are in the age of grace, the mystery program, and nothing needs to happen for the rapture to occur. And this is where people get the second coming and the rapture confused as well. If you go back to the Gospels and look at the second coming happened 7 years after the tribulation. We haven't had the tribulation yet. The tribulation hasn't happened. We're in a paused period. Look with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. And we'll try to hopefully begin wrapping this up. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. So this is the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, this is the rapture. It's a signless event. Again, the second coming, we have all kinds of signs pointing to the second coming. But so many people want to tie the second coming and the rapture together, and you cannot. The rapture is part of the mystery program. The second coming is part of the kingdom and the prophesied program. Therefore, the wars and the Antichrist and all those things are going to point to the second coming. Imminence means nothing known needs to happen before the rapture occurs. Again, doesn't mean the rapture will happen immediately. It can. It can wait longer. It can, you know, the Apostle Paul thought it was going to happen during his time. Again, in all this, when we begin to understand Scripture and begin what is happening, to understand what is happening, to me, it gives us a peace that we can understand and that we're not fearful for what's happening in the world. It doesn't make life fun. It doesn't make life, you know, we can still have, you know, understanding right division guards us from misinterpretation. We no longer panic when we read verses about enduring to the end to be saved. In Matthew 24, it talks about enduring to the end to be saved. Or about miraculous signs. Those things do not belong to our program. They are in another program. We can understand. We can anchor ourselves and stand firm in the gospel of the grace of God. Again, we can have confidence and peace about the future. I got a text last night about 10 o'clock, one of my coworkers, and I've tried to explain, you know, and I don't know if she's worried about war or end times or what she's worried about. She says, I have so much anxiety and fear, and there's no need for that. When we begin to understand Scripture and begin to understand what is happening, we can have the confidence and peace that Jesus Christ gives us. I think most importantly is the urgency in our gospel witness. A signless, any moment rapture also creates a loving urgency to evangelize and serve. Since we don't know how long we have, it makes us be urgent. We need to share the gospel. We need to tell others now. Tomorrow might be too late. We have no idea how much time we have. I know there was a lot in that study, and I apologize. I didn't know which direction we'd go and how we'd go. But we set out to rightly divide the word. We wanted to discover the critical distinction between God's prophetic program for Israel and his mystery program for the church. That word prophecy, spoken since the world began. God's plan for Israel, God's plan to bless the nations through Israel, establish an earthly kingdom under Christ. And in contrast, we see the mystery. It was kept secret since the world began. It's God's plan for today, the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. We are building the body of Christ. We are not building a kingdom. We are building the body of Christ. No one can predict when Christ will call us home, but we know he will. That hope is meant to encourage us. Serve him. Faithfully wait for him. There's a hope that he is going to come back and catch us away. Again, at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4:18, is the most comforting words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are not going through the tribulation. We will be caught away before all of that things happen. It doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory in your life and it's easy, and you know. But we are not going through the tribulation where there is starvation and hunger and earthquakes and wars. And we're nowhere near what he is talking about in the tribulation. But yes, the rapture can happen at any time. And just in conclusion, you may say, well, why did he keep all of that a mystery? Why didn't he just start in the beginning and say, hey, this is the way it's going to play out, and this is the way it's going to end? Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. And I will quit, I promise. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the 12 disciples, if anybody knew from the beginning of time, yes, there's times that it talks about him going to the cross of Calvary. And I can show you scripture where Peter argues with him and says, you are not going to the cross. You are not going to die. If anybody knew that Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary was for our salvation, it says in Scripture he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Satan tried time and time again. When he was a baby, he tried to kill the babies. When he tried to get rid of Jesus Christ, God the Father. And Satan thought he had won for 3 days. He said, I'm victorious, I win. Until Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. That is why there's a mystery program. That is why there's a prophetic program, a mystery program. Again, in Romans 11, 32. Last one. Romans 11, 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, the nation of Israel, that he might have mercy upon all. He wanted to blind the nation of Israel. Again, he knew what the nation of Israel was going to do. He knew the plan. There is nothing in this world today that prophecy is occurring. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Scripture. We thank you if we take the time to dissect it, to rightly divide, to understand Scripture, to understand what you're teaching us. If we've heard this before, Lord, I hope it brings us peace and comfort. If it's the first time that we've heard it, I pray that we go home and be Bereans and study the Scripture, to study what you have taught us today. We pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen.